you sense it. So we have New Year goals, and we have all kind of things. How have you stuck to your diet yet? Whatever goals you have set for yourself. Listen, we have physical goals, spiritual goals, intellectual goals. And today we begin a series in the book of 1 John. And we're going to cover some things that John has written, and we'll go through his first book toward the end of the Bible. And listen to you. Listen, he starts out right off. If you're interested in spiritual renewal, he kind of kicks us in the teeth real quick because he jumps on what sin is. And it's like, well, if I want spiritual renewal, that's where I need to be, is understanding how to get sin out of my life and understand why sin is not acceptable there. Listen, we don't like to be told that we're wrong. None of us do. And as Christians, we don't like to be told that there's some attitude that we have or something that we're holding on to. Because, you know, we try to justify it. We try to make excuses for it. You know, we'll tell people to mind their own business. We'll tell people not to judge us. We'll tell people all sorts of things to protect that little thing that we enjoy so much, but God calls it sin. God's attitude toward it doesn't change. And I hope for 2017 that your goal is to get closer to God. And listen, we're starting in January, and here John is addressing the very thing that he wants us to be closer to God. He wants us to have a closer walk with him. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to sting a little bit. It's going to hurt because it's going to take some things in our life, and it would just uproot them because that's not what God wants in our life. And we want to be pleasing to him. So if you're ready, we're going to step on in to 1 John. If you have your Bibles, turn there, would you? Toward the back of the Bible, 1 John chapter 1. Tom Drought said this, "The chains of sin are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken." And true. You know what's really wonderful about our Lord Jesus, though? It doesn't matter how deep that sin may be in our life, that just like a hammer, you know, you go through life, if you've used a hammer before, you're going to bend some nails. You're going to bend some things, and you just have to pull back out. In our life, that's how God works. There's some things we go through life, and there's some things, mistakes we make. There's some things that need to be corrected. There's some sin that we need to get out. It's like on the back of the hammer, there's a claw. God's Spirit is that claw that can go in and pull out those things and give us a fresh start and a fresh beginning, new beginning. And that's what's good about God. He doesn't just tell us about the sin. He tells us how to correct the sin, how to get things out of our life. The author of 1 John is the disciple John. He also wrote the Gospel of John and two more letters after 1 John, 2 and 3 John, and the book of Revelation. He's believed to be the first cousin of Jesus Christ and had profound knowledge of our Savior. The letter of John is addressed to believers. So if he's addressing to the church that there's sin in the church, there's sin in their lives, then believe me that same story holds true for today. John wanted to encourage Christians to combat against false teachings which began to infiltrate the church and get the things out of their life that were not pleasing to God. So this morning we examine just the first portion of 1 John to remind us who God is, the conditions of compromising faith to sin, and the acceptable forgiveness to help us correct our sinful choices. Let's begin reading in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched." He's talking about Jesus. "This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The word appeared and we have seen and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared, and it has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with him, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Verse 5 says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, with one another, and with the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we profess our sins, listen to this, if we profess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, how amazing you truly are. God, that the thing that you do in our life is always to refine us, draw us closer to you. God, you want a relationship with us. And Father, there's things that you want us to get out of our life. Lord, maybe for us it's something that's been there all along and we've just become so accustomed to it. But God, you're showing it to us. You're revealing it that you want us out. You want that sin out. And Father, you're not angry with us. You don't, Lord, bash us around. Lord, you love us. And God, you're drawing us to you. And you give us a power and a strength that when we confess, those things are gone. You remove them as far as the east is from the west. Father, I pray today for your people as we begin this 2017. God, we want to draw closer to you, and we know it begins at the very heart of our condition with you. Help us today to grasp more about this passage in Christ's name. Amen. So there are four truths in correcting our mistakes and our sinful choices that we need to really incorporate into our life. The first one is this, to acknowledge that we are capable of making sinful choices. We have to acknowledge, first of all, that we are capable of failing. It doesn't matter if you're from the pulpit to the back pew, we are capable of doing the wrong thing. We have made harmful and disastrous mistakes. God does not accept our excuses, though. Listen, God is holy and sin does not have a place in our relationship with him. God will never accept sin in our life. And there are a lot of people who want to harbor sin and say, well, I'm covered by the grace of God. Yes, you're covered by the grace of God so that sin can be eradicated out of our life. God is holy and does not accept our sin or our excuses for it. We have sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Jesus Christ is the only one who's never sinned, and that's why he could die on the cross for our sins. You and I do have vulnerabilities to make mistakes, and we have made sinful choices. We are vulnerable in areas of our life, and it does us well to know what those vulnerabilities are so that we can avoid those conditions, those situations. Some people are bent on believing that they are right in everything they do or say. They simply refuse to acknowledge that they are wrong. They would rather blame others for their bad decisions. Have you ever done that? Made a sinful choice and made a bad error and judgment on something, but then turn around and blame somebody else? I think we all have. But listen, that's not what God wants. God wants us to own responsibility for it. Own it so he can forgive us. When we walk with God, he exposes the darkness of all of our sins, and he demands that we expel our failures by his grace, power, and forgiveness. There are a lot of people who say, well, I'm just going to quit doing this, but they never, ever repent of it. And before long, they're right back doing it. You see, they never invoke the power of God in their life to get rid of that and to overcome it. Just good intentions won't do it. Because we can all have good intentions. We have to have the power and the grace of God to live beyond that sin, to eradicate that sin out of our life. 1 John 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." John implies that sin is darkness. It casts shadows over our life with all its secrecy and shroud of cover. When people stumble around in the darkness, harm comes their way. And they do not notice it oftentimes until it's too late. Darkness also ignites fear and feelings of helplessness. Once sin is rooted into our life, and it may seem like it's so small, it grows roots. It begins to grow and grow and begins to shadow over areas in our lives. And before we know it, it's full grown. And boy, it's affecting everything we do. It's affecting our attitude. It's affecting the way we treat other people. It affects the way we treat our family, the people that we work with. It affects every area when sin is grown. See, God is light, who exposes our sin, our selfish mistakes. When God shines His light into our lives, it becomes very evident of our failures. It is amazing how some people want to lay blame on others for their failure. When the light of God shining in their life, it's very obvious there's the problem. Listen, when God shines in my life, and there's a sin, there's a bad attitude I have, there's something I've done. Listen, I can't blame anyone else because God is showing it to me. Now, other people may have already seen it. Listen, when God shows something in your life, He's not wanting you to point a finger, "Well, it's this one's fault." No, it's your fault. It's there. Because it's in your life. This morning, if you're allowing sin to abide in your life, that sin casts dark shadows across every area, and God wants to remove it. John Bunyan said this, "One leak can sink a ship, and one sin will destroy a sinner." Listen, we allow one sin in our life to harbor there, and it'll grow and grow and grow. It can destroy and erode so many things in our world. So many. The second truth we need to know is that known sin in a Christian's life makes him out to be a liar. If there's a sin in my life, and I know that sin is there, and I keep feeding and feeding and feeding that sin, but yet I'm telling everybody I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit keeps showing me that sin, then I'm a liar. Because I'm obviously not following God, I'm playing with the sin. See, when we pursue a life choice of sin, we become a liar against our own profession of faith in Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are followers of Christ. We embrace salvation, His values, His character, and discipleship. We literally become little Christ. With this thought in mind, we must evaluate our lives against the life of Christ. Our thoughts, our behaviors, our attitudes must be compared and contrasted with Jesus, not with our neighbors. See, that's what we want to do. We want to compare ourselves with the preacher. We want to compare ourselves with the staff at church. We want to compare ourselves to the Sunday school teacher. We want to compare ourselves to our neighbor, one of the deacons. We want to compare ourselves to someone else rather than Christ. Why? Because it's easy to look good against somebody else because we have already picked them apart and all their problems. And we justify ourselves in some way, "Well, I'm just as good as them." That's the wrong vision. It's allowing the light of God to shine in our life. Not the light of Kevin or Brian or Daniel or anyone else. Not the light of your Sunday school class teacher. Not the light of anyone in your family or your church family. Listen, it's the light of God that shines in our life that shows us the things that we need to correct, the mistakes that we need to redo. We see in verse 6, this, "So if we say we have fellowship with God, but we continue living in darkness, we are liars, and do not follow the truth. Well, that's saying not if we stumble, but if we are still pursuing that old vulnerability, that old sin out there that we've embraced and we're keeping it and we're harboring it over. And it may not be some of the big things. It may just be a sour attitude. It may be gossip. It may be greed. It may be some things that other people are just, it may be a prideful attitude. Listen, if we're embracing that, but say we're following God, then we're made out to be a liar. If we profess to be a believer in Christ, but continue to pursue a pattern of sin, we really need to do a soul check. Because we're living against God rather than for God. See, we're really living for ourselves. And we've just kind of pushed this God off to the side. Yeah, we'll go to church. We'll go through all the motions. We'll sing some songs. We'll check it off, go home, eat lunch, and watch football. And never get honest with ourselves. And we'll keep feeding that sin all week long. Some of us, it may just be a filthy mouth. We may curse a lot. Well, that's just the way I was raised. Yeah, but you're filled with the Holy Ghost. There needs to be a change in our language. See, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of a man. It's so easy to excuse ourselves and abuse the grace of God. See, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. What he's saying is, listen, once you're with God, you're not going to continue to pursue that lifestyle of sin. It doesn't mean that you won't sin, but you're not going to pursue that lifestyle of sin. Those old vulnerabilities, you keep giving them over to God. And God, he said, here it is, Lord. Lord, I want you, I want you, I want you. Do we stumble? Do we slip? Do we fall from time to time? We may. Not saying we will, but we may. But listen, if we're pursuing a life of sin and trying to pursue a life with God, it doesn't work. We're saved. The Holy Spirit convicts us and counsels us of the sin in our life. You and I are compelled to confess our failures and sins, repent, and release it. The Holy Spirit is always showing us. Always showing us. If there's something we need to do in the beginning of this year, is just really have a moment with the Holy Spirit. Say, God, here I am. Show me. Shine your light in my life. Is there something I'm doing? Is there an attitude that I have? Is there something that some behavior that I've incorporated that I need to stop because it's not glorifying you? It was once said that not only does sin have consequences, but also each time we sin, we reinforce a pattern that becomes harder and harder to break. If we persist in sin with the thought that one day we will get it right with God, we should remind ourselves that God may still be there to forgive and restore, but we may not be. We must guard against the infiltration of sinful actions and attitudes. If we deny our sin, soon it will manifest destruction in our lives. Sin must be exposed and expelled in order to live holy for God. The third truth is this. Repentance restores our relationships. Relationship with God, relationship with our family, relationship with others. When we confess and turn from our sin, we receive God's grace and mercy. Confess and turn from it. Not just say, yeah, I've got a problem, but do something about it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're preoccupied with sin. We do not like to hear that we are wrong. Listen, I catch an attitude sometimes. I want to say it's because I'm a redneck, but some of you say, well, it's because I'm a Cajun. We'll make excuses, you know. But boy, I can. Whew. And the Lord has to step in. If we confess and turn from that sin, God is just, and His mercy and His grace will step in and wipe that away. It's amazing when we finally catch our head and let our emotions begin to settle down, how God intervenes in our life. If we'll just allow Him to. But sometimes we brew for days, for weeks, for months. How much damage and destruction are we doing all that time? Because everybody who sees us as a Christian sees us not behaving and acting like a Christian. And when they see that, what message about the Jesus that we serve have we given to them? Now listen, it's amazing what it does as a testimony when they see us struggle with something and then they see us give it over to God. What amazing testimony. Because they realize we're human too. That we're not perfect. We're not going to get it right every time. Man, how that can destroy our relationships when we hold on to sin. We just want to live that way. Just the attitude I have. We make all kinds of excuses for it. But repentance, oh, repentance restores our relationship with God in fullness, but also restores our relationship with others. Because now people begin to see, wow, what God, the work God is doing in that person's life. The sweet reality is that God calls us to repentance, to forgive our sins, heal our wounds, and restore full joy and peace. Verse 9, we see, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us all of our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. That's simply saying, if we tell God what He already knows and show that we're sorry for that, and that we want to change our mind about it, not to do it anymore, change our behavior about it, and we move away from it, in His power, His strength, He is merciful. There's too many people who want to hang on to that sin and say, well, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Listen, that's abusing the grace of God. Yes, we are sinners saved by grace. But if we continue to sin and continue to sin, and say, well, God's going to forgive me. God's going to forgive me. God's going to forgive me. But we keep on sinning. We're abusing what God has given so liberally to us. And God will not have it. Are you troubled by any known sin in your life? Disclosing the sin to God will bring His forgiveness. That's what's amazing. God already knows about the sin. We can hide it from everyone else, but God already knows. He already knows where we've been and what we've done. He knows our sorry attitude. He knows it. It's amazing. We do more effort to hide it from other people than we do from God. God already knows. And God just wants us to confess about it. He just wants us to agree with Him and repent of it. Disclosing sin to God will bring forgiveness. God already knows where we've been, where we failed. Agree with Him it is wrong. Repent. Change your mind. Change your ways about it. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. A person finds relief and forgiveness from a sinful pattern. If he is not careful, the sinful stronghold will return worse than before. Listen, Christian, I want to give you this heads-up warning. When we go to God and we ask God to forgive us, and it's a genuine repentance, there is a forgiveness. God forgives. But if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm not talking about some out there landish thing. I'm talking about just, Lord, I need to be filled fresh and anew with Your Spirit. And listen, Lord, and begin to fill that space where that sin was with godly things. If we do not do that, we're in trouble. Here's one. Listen to what this passage says. A lot of people want to get the sin out, but they don't want to fill it with godly things. They don't want the Holy Spirit to come in. We don't want more of that. We just want to be relieved from this. Listen, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. It says, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, It passes through the waterless places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds an unoccupied, swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first state. That is the way it is also with this evil generation. Listen, I don't believe a Christian can be demon occupied because the Holy Spirit is there. But let me tell you, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, those strongholds, that those oppressive things that Satan comes at us against, that very thing that we got rid of comes back worse than it was before. Because we didn't do anything about it. We wanted relief. We heard a message. We felt guilty. So, you know, felt convicted about it. So we asked God to forgive us. But we didn't do anything to allow God to grow us through that. We just stayed where we were. And that stronghold made its way back worse than before. The Bible says seven times. So there are a lot of Christians who have forgiveness for a sin in their life, but over time did not allow God to grow them up. And what happened is that problem and many more came into their life and found a stronghold. Maybe you've been freed from a sinful stronghold some time back, only realize that other strongholds Satan has brought into your life. Maybe lust and greed, adultery, coveting, gossiping, swearing, stealing, gambling, alcoholism, drug abuse, rudeness even. The list goes on and on. So we got rid of one, but seven more came back. There are so many sinful behaviors and attitudes that can find lodging in our lives if we allow them, and they would destroy everything in our life. Listen, I've met Christians who've been in church for many years who are some of the meanest people, who have some of the ugliest attitudes, and so judgmental of others. When I read those verses, what I'm thinking back is sometime 40 years ago, God forgave them for their sin, but instead of softening their heart and turning their heart to help others, what they've done is harden their heart to where they begin to judge everybody else. So all what they've been forgiven, because the Holy Spirit did not feel, they did not embrace the Holy Spirit who's living in them now, they begin to be other things, other strongholds. Some of the nasty, rudest people can be church people. I'm telling you. I've been in church 49 years, plus 9 months, and my mama carried me. And I've been treated better by people in the world than some people in church. Hello. There's so many selfish behaviors. Sin will take us further than we want to go, keep us longer than we want to stay, and cost us more than we want to pay. Yet repentance brings grace. Repentance brings forgiveness. Repentance brings restoration. Mark Austin said this, sin has a diminishing factor to it. It always gives its best in the beginning. It never gets better after that. It only gets worse. Are you holding on to something? Are you just holding on to it because you think it's fun? You think it's enjoyable? Listen, that fun and enjoyment ends in destruction. And how sin always has a diminishing effect in a person's life. The fourth truth is this, and we're closing. The great news is that Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our advocate. He is the great news about our sin problem. He is our friend and our Savior who forgives our sin. Listen, I don't want you to take that lightly. I don't want you to just overpass that. I want you to say, well, I've been forgiven, you know, I've been saved for a long time now. When we hear that oftentimes about Jesus Christ, we just kind of overshadow, we just kind of whitewash it. But no, listen, Jesus is the mediator. He is the advocate. He is the one standing before God in your behalf, in my behalf, every day. So if we're harboring on to a sin, it's because we want to, not because Jesus is not saying, give it to me, I'll bring it to the Father, I've already paid for it. Sin does not have to have dominion over our minds, over our body, over our spirit. Jesus already defeated sin, paid its penalty, and opened the way for us to have a relationship with God. We must claim Him as Savior. Claim what He did on Calvary for our own and receive forgiveness and atonement. Listen, that forgiveness, that grace is a lifetime thing through our sanctification. That's that renewing, that refining of our faith all the time so we look more like Jesus. It doesn't just stop when we're born again. The day we gave our life to Christ, it just started. We must claim that He is Savior. Claim His victory and abandon the chains of sin that has imprisoned our life. Maybe there's some area of your life that you know there's a stronghold. You know. Will you give it to God today? We see 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this: I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, all of our excuses that compromise our faith lose their power in the presence of Christ. All of our excuses just lose their power. And in the presence of Christ, maybe you have been feeling overwhelmed by conviction over sin. Maybe some area of your life has just been a stronghold. It's rooted there. You know it. Nobody else does, but you and God know. And God is wanting to take that sin and just uproot it out of your life. Maybe you've just been feeling overwhelmed by it. Today is the day to lay it down. Lay that burden, that sin down, and leave it today. Leave today in freedom. And Jesus is waiting to forgive your sin and empower you to live without compromise for Him. Christians, that's something that we need to learn, to live without compromise on the very basics of things that God has given to us. Maybe today you need to know Jesus as Savior. Maybe today is the day that you give your life to Him. See, there are a lot of people who go to church. There are a lot of people who've heard a lot of messages, and they've never given their life to Jesus. They've never truly repented of their sin. They've never been born again. Is that you today? Have you been playing church? Have you been going through all the rituals of a church, looking real religious? But you have never met Jesus and know the forgiveness that comes from Him. No excuses. Listen, He will forgive you. He is your mediator to God. Do you know Christ as Savior? Christians, are you living as His disciple? Are you living for Him? And allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you, to eradicate, to move out any sinful attitudes and decisions and choices and all that? Or are you just kind of coasting through? See, Christians, we can get very comfortable. And when we get very comfortable, that's when we're in problems. When we get real comfortable in our walk with Christ, we're not growing. And we get very idle. We just go through our routines over and over and over. If we're just going through our routines, the devil's building a stronghold the whole time. The whole time. See, God, through our whole life, is refining us, growing us, breaking us, breaking things in our life. Listen, it stings, it hurts, it's not always fun, but that's what God wants us to do. So we'll be more like His Son, Jesus. Learning to correct those mistakes without compromising our faith requires us to allow the Holy Spirit to expose our sin and expel our sin to the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, God, we want to draw closer to You. God, it seems the things that preach about this morning, so many of us have gone through, and Lord, we can't say that we won't go through it again. That we're all in this together. And Lord, we know that there have been strongholds built up. God, maybe one of Your children this morning have a stronghold of sin. And God, You're wanting to eradicate it. You're wanting to break it down. You're wanting to move it out of their life. Father, I pray today that You give them the strength. Only by the power of the blood of Jesus, only by the power of the cross, the Holy Spirit, give them the strength to move that out of their life and to move away from it. God, I pray for Your people today. God, I pray for those who do not know You. God, they need a relationship with You. May this be the day they give their life to You. In Jesus' name, amen.